ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। अलक्षितोग्नौ पतितपतंगमो यथा नृसिंहो जसिसोऽसुरास्तदा न तत् विचित्रं खलु सत्त्वधामनि स्वतेजसा योऽनुपुरापि बत्तमः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, He entered the dark universe and illuminated it by His spiritual effulgence. Purport: the Lord is situated transcendentally in pure goodness. The material world is generally controlled by tamogun, the quality of ignorance. But the spiritual world, because of the presence of the Lord and His effulgence, is free from all contamination by darkness or contaminated goodness. Although there is a tinge of goodness in this material world, in terms of the Brahmanical qualifications, such qualifications sometimes become invisible because of the strong prevalence of the modes of passion and ignorance. But because the Lord is always transcendentally situated, the material modes of passion and ignorance cannot touch Him. Whenever the Lord is present, there cannot be any darkness from the mode of ignorance. It is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 22nd chapter 31st verse, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar, Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Radhikar. Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. This material world is full of darkness and ignorance of spiritual life. But by Bhakti Yoga, this ignorance is dissipated. The Lord appeared because of the Bhakti Yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. And as soon as the Lord appeared, the influence of Hiranyakashipu's passion and ignorance was vanquished, as the Lord's quality of pure goodness or the Brahman effulgence became prominent. In that prominent effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible or his influence became insignificant. An example illustrating how the darkness of the material world is vanquished is given in the Shastra. When Brahma was created from the lotus stem growing from the abdomen of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Lord Brahma saw everything to be dark. But when He received knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything became clear, as everything becomes clear when one comes from night to sunshine. The important point is that as long as we are in the material modes of nature, we are always in darkness. This darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga creates a transcendental situation with no tinges of material contamination. So with the blessings of the assembled devotees, I'll try to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and for the glorification of the Supreme Lord, and also as a service to the devotees. So in this verse, the Lord Narsingdev has just appeared. So then he has just started fighting with Hiranyakashipu. So in this verse it is described that as soon as Lord appeared, although Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that in front of the Lord, his presence became so insignificant. Just like a small insect which falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes almost invisible, similarly the Hiranyakashipu became almost invisible in the presence of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada is elaborating on different points in the purport. First he says that how this material world is actually filled with these three kinds of modes, Sattvagun, Rajogun and Tamogun. Although Sattvagun, the mode of goodness, is better than passion and ignorance, even mode of goodness is actually contaminated by the influence of passion and ignorance. So we see, although so many people are pious, but still not everyone takes to Krishna consciousness. Like once I was sitting in the temple hall, in the guest reception, so somebody came and took darshan. Then when he was just about to leave, I just gave him prasadam, please take prasadam. So that person said, no, actually today I am fasting, fasting for such and such demigod, so I don't take prasadam. So actually the purpose of this austerities and penances and different kinds of sacrifices ultimately to please the Supreme Lord, to come to the point of devotional service. Although a person may be in the situated in goodness, but still because he is contaminated by passion or ignorance, so one does not take to Krishna consciousness. But the Supreme Lord is completely situated in pure goodness, unlike the persons of this material world. So we see this particular quality, that how the material world is filled with passion and ignorance, but how the Lord is transcendental to the modes. In one particular verse in the third canto, where in the section of Varahadev, so when Varahadev appeared in the material world, he appeared two times, first to take the earth from the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean and to place the earth in its orbit. And second time Varahadev appeared to kill Hiranyaksha. So in the first time when Varahadev appeared, so he placed the earth in the orbit. So because Varahadev, actually he was in the form of a boar, in the material world when a person sees a hog or a boar, nobody would like to go and touch the boar. Especially in Bombay, actually hogs are not visible, but when you go to the countryside, when you go to the villages, you have seen like hogs will be like swimming in the ditches where everyone's stool is there. So nobody likes to go near the hog and then touch the hog. But then when Varahadev appeared, the residents of the higher planets like Satyaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, they offer prayers in which they say, Vidunvata Veda Mayam Nijam Vapur Janastapas Satya Nivasino Vayam Shatashikoduta Shivambu Bindubir Vimrujamana Brishamisha Pavita. So the residents of Janaloka, they say, although we are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, which are considered to be the most advanced planets and universes, still we have become purified just by taking the drops of water which actually emanated from your shoulders. So when Varahadev came from the bottom of the ocean, he just shook his head. So when he shook his head, some water actually sprinkled from his shoulder. So the Janaloka, Tapaloka, those residents, they were just waiting to receive those droplets of water. So although they were actually from the Lord who was in the form of the hog. So they are saying that although we are the residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, we have become purified just by taking those droplets of water. So Prabhupada explains that we can see that although these people are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, but still contamination, there exists contamination in this world, in these planets. So that is why they say that we have become purified by taking the droplets from Lord's body. So although these people in the earth planet, although so many people are there, most of the people are filled with ignorance and passion, but in the higher planets people are situated in almost in goodness, but still there also the contamination of ignorance and passion exist. And how do they get purified? By taking the charanamrita, or the water emanated from the Lord's body. So this shows that although the Supreme Lord appears in the form of a boar, still he is completely situated in pure goodness. So here also Prabhupada is elaborating on the same point, that although there is a tinge of goodness in this material world in terms of the Brahmanical qualifications, such qualifications sometimes become invisible because of the strong prevalence of the modes of passion and ignorance. But because the Lord is always situated in pure goodness, he is not touched by this passion and ignorance. And the second point which Prabhupada elaborates is, okay, Lord is situated in pure goodness, but when does the Lord appear in the material world? When does the Lord appear? So Prabhupada says, when the Lord appeared because of the bhakti yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. When a person executes devotional service and pleases the Supreme Lord, the Lord appears in order to please the devotees. What was the qualification of Prahlad Maharaj because of which the Lord appeared? Or what is the qualification of the one a person should have to develop love of Godhead? So this is explained in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashrita bhagavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. Krishna says that many people in the past, because of being freed from attachment, fear and anger, they attained actually love of me. Puta madbhava magata. They became purified and they attained love of me. So in order to understand this verse, one has to consider the previous verse. In the previous verse, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam. Yo evam yo veti tatvatah. Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mam yeti sorjana. Krishna says that my birth and activities are transcendental, and one who understands my birth and activities to be transcendental, such a person, upon leaving his material body, he never takes birth again in this material world. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Baldev Vidya Bhushan, while commenting on this verse, they say that Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, that is especially attachment, fear and anger, like in order to attain love of Krishna, one has to perform austerities. And what is the austerity one has to perform? One has to be freed from attachment towards those people who are opposed to the idea that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. Because in the previous verse, Krishna says that my birth and activities are transcendental. So the acharyas say that in order to attain love of Krishna, one has to become freed from attachment towards those people who are opposed to the idea that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. And not only that, one has to be free from fear towards those people who are opposed to the idea that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. And one should also be freed from anger towards those people who are opposed to the idea that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. So when we begin to practice Krishna consciousness, many times a devotee faces opposition from, say, family members, or friends, or relatives, or from his near and dear ones. So in the enthusiasm, See, a person becomes very much enthusiastic and he actually starts preaching to such people, and he becomes like, he shows so much of detachment from people, from his family members or from his parents who are opposed to his practice of Krishna consciousness. So although a person shows detachment, but it is more like he is hating such persons. Huh? So here it is mentioned that one should not only be detached from such people, but one should also be not angry towards such people. Huh? Usually a devotee is detached from parents when the parents are opposing his practice of Krishna consciousness. But one should also be not angry towards such people. That is why Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, this hatred and attachment, they are two sides of the same coin. Sometimes a person shows attachment, sometimes a person shows hatred. So it is not that one should be just simply be detached, but at the same time, one should not be angry towards such people who are opposing one's practice of Krishna consciousness. And not only that, one should not be fearful of such persons. Like, I remember when I started practicing Krishna consciousness, although the parents were not opposing so much, but still, like, I was feeling little awkward when I would go home, I would chant in a room so that my parents don't understand and they don't come to know that I am chanting. So I was feeling little afraid of my parents. So here Krishna says that one should not be fearful of those people who are actually opposed to the idea that one should practice Krishna consciousness. So that is why we see that Prahlad Maharaj actually exhibited all these qualities. So he was not attached to his father Hiranyakashipu. Although his father Hiranyakashipu gave him all facilities, he gave him so much love towards Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj came to meet his father. Hiranyakashipu smeared his head and then he almost shed tears upon Prahlad Maharaj. So Hiranyakashipu was very much affectionate to Prahlad Maharaj. But then Prahlad Maharaj was not attached to Hiranyakashipu. Because he was not attached to Hiranyakashipu's idea that one should worship only Hiranyakashipu. At the same time, Prahlad Maharaj was not fearful of Hiranyakashipu. Because Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly preached Krishna consciousness in the school of Shanda and Amarka. And one may say, okay, Prahlad Maharaj was not attached to Hiranyakashipu, but at the same time, he was also not angry towards Hiranyakashipu. Although Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad Maharaj so much, and he personally tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj, but when Narsingdev actually killed Hiranyakashipu, and then when Prahlad Maharaj started offering prayers to Hiranyakashipu, one of the prayers he asked from the Lord is that, please give your mercy to my father. Please show your mercy to my father. So we can see that although Prahlad Maharaj was not only attached and not only he was not fearful of his father, but at the same time he was not angry towards his father. So that is the qualification one should have to attain love of God. So here Prabhupada says, by bhakti yoga, this ignorance is dissipated. The Lord appeared because of the bhakti yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. So when a person performs devotional service, the Lord becomes so much attracted to the performance of devotional service. So we see in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that how devotional service is so powerful. The characteristics of devotional service, the first characteristic which is described is Kleshagni. Kleshagni means relief from all distress. So in order to describe this particular quality of Bhakti Yoga, that is relief from all distress, Rupa Goswami is quoting this verse from the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in which he says, to say nothing of the advancement of persons who see the Supreme Lord face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he just once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if he once hears the holy name of the Lord, or if one once remembers the Supreme Lord. So, in commenting on this verse, the acharyas explain, especially on the word shvada. Shvada means dog eater. The word shvada is a combination of two words, shva plus adan. Shva means dog, adan means eating, the act of eating. So there are two meanings of the word shvada. The first meaning is, if you take the literal meaning, that means shva plus adan, one who is eating dog. So especially the adan is, it is used in the present tense. That means a person who is actually habituated to eating dog. So it is not that the past tense is used. That means a person who once ate a dog. So the present tense is used. But then according to the Sanskrit rule, etymologic conventional meaning actually overrides the etymological meaning or the literal meaning. So what is the conventional meaning of the word shvada? Conventional meaning is a low-born person. Or Sridhar Swami says the conventional, another conventional meaning can be given as a person who cooks dog, or a person who is born in a low caste. So if you take both the meanings, whether the conventional meaning or the etymological meaning, it actually opposes the idea that a person who once ate a dog. It is not that a person who once ate a dog, he becomes immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Lord. That meaning is not mentioned. Even a person who is habituated to eating dog, or a person who is born in a low family, he becomes immediately qualified if he once chants the holy name of the Lord. So that is, in fact, one purport in the first canto, Prabhupada says, a dog eater is considered to be the lowest of all persons. We see this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and then below Shudra there are Malechas. And even then, even below that, even among the worst kind of Malechas, it's mentioned dog eater or a person who eats a dog. Such a person is considered to be the worst kind of person. But even such a person becomes immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once chants the holy name of the Lord. And the word used is sadhya. Sadhya means he becomes immediately qualified. Sometimes especially the smartha brahmanas, they say that, okay, when a person chants the holy name of the Lord, one begins to get purified. But then that is actually opposed in this verse. It is said that one becomes immediately qualified. So Jiva Goswami says, but the immediate destruction of one's sinful activities, because a person does not become qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices because of being born in a low family. A person takes birth in a low family because of his past sinful actions. So this immediate destruction of the past sinful actions, it actually it means actually the destruction of the suffering which happens because of the performance of the past sinful actions. Because of the past sinful actions, one gets different reactions. Like one is born in a low family, or one is born ugly, or one has different chronic diseases, or one has a legal implication. So when a person performs devotional service, one immediately gets rid of all these problems. So, but then one may wonder that that does not mean that one immediately becomes beautiful, or one becomes immediately get rid of all the sickness. So it actually means that one becomes get rid of the suffering which happened because of the sinful reactions. So that is why Sridhar Maharaj once said, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So a person may go through different pains, either due to physical problems or due to say mental disturbance, different say legal implications, or because of born ugly. Although one may go through different pains, but suffering is suffering is optional. When will suffering become optional? That will happen when a person performs devotional service. So how do we, in order to understand this particular concept, that pain is inevitable and suffering is optional, so we can understand it from the activities of the child in the womb. So this is also explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in which Kapil Dev is explaining the sufferings of the child in the womb in great detail. In fact, Kapil Dev says, when the child is actually surrounded by stool and urine, which are the breeding places of all kinds of worms. Like they said, one of the best forms of exercise is swimming. Like people like to go to swimming pools or Ban Ganga, like that. But who would like to swim in a place which is surrounded by stool and urine? So here it is described that the child is actually swimming in the ocean, swimming in a place which is actually filled with stool and urine. And the child is actually bitten by hungry worms. And because of that, child becomes unconscious moment after moment because of the terrible agony which are caused by the biting of the hungry worms. And then Kapil Dev says that when the mother eats bitter and pungent foodstuffs, the body of the child suffers incessant pains, and those pains are which almost intolerable. But then Prabhupada says in the purport that although the sufferings of the child, we can't actually imagine the suffering which are experienced by the child in the womb. But although the child experiences so much of suffering, the greatest benediction of Maya is that it gives the power to tolerate also. So although when a person becomes sick, he actually, in one sense, it is a favorable condition because one attracts sympathy from so many people. But then, if a person sees honestly, actually Krishna also gives the power to tolerate. Like in the material world, there are so many competitive exams are there. Like exams for chartered accountants or to enter into IIT or different other exams are there. So these exams, maybe lakhs of people will appear, maybe few hundred people will pass or few thousands people will pass. But only those people who are intelligent, who are at a certain level, they will pass. So the exams are set universally. Like every person has to go through the same examination paper. So this examination system is not a very good examination system. But the examination system of the Supreme Lord is perfect. So those examination papers of Supreme Lord are perfectly tailor-made for every person. If the Supreme Lord or the material nature gives certain kind of pain to a particular person, he also gives the power to tolerate that pain also. If a person, the Supreme Lord gives certain suffering to a particular person, either physical or mental suffering, but Krishna also gives the power to tolerate. That is why we should always have the faith that Krishna will never give a test which we will not pass. So as Prabhupada says, the greatest benediction of Maya is that Maya also gives the power to tolerate. So because the child's consciousness is not so highly developed, although it goes through severe suffering, but it also has the power to tolerate. So then Kapil Dev says, the posture of the child is, its head is turned towards the belly and its back and neck are arched like a bow. So Prabhupada says that, like we see like different devotees perform yoga. Prabhupada says that even a grown-up man cannot actually remain in such a posture for more than a few seconds. Even a person who is expert in performing yoga, he cannot actually remain in such a posture for more than few seconds. But a child is actually in that posture for many months actually. And then Kapil Dev says, just like the worms which are born of the same abdominal cavity, which cannot remain in one particular place, the child also cannot remain at one particular place. It is moving from one place to another place. So especially the word used is sodara. Sodara means born of the same mother. So the many worms are also born of the same abdominal cavity of the mother. So Prabhupada says in the purport that people talk about universal brotherhood. But here we should know that even the worms are actually our brothers. So if one talks about universal brotherhood, one should take into consideration that all living entities are actually brothers. Because even the worms are also born of the same mother. So then, in this condition, when the child is actually tormented by so many suffering, child actually begins to pray to the Supreme Lord. So one may say, how can the child pray to the Supreme Lord? So Prabhupada says that everything is possible by the grace of the Lord. Actually, this whole incident says that devotional service can be practiced in any situation. It is not that in order to practice devotional service, one has to have such and such situation. Sometimes one will have certain complaints that, okay, only when these things are there, maybe I'll be able to practice. But here, this whole incident says that devotional service can be practiced in any situation. In one of the prayer, child is praying that at this condition, now I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who is actually unlimited and who is changeless. But the Lord is perceived in the repentant heart. One may, when a person is supremely great, when a person is unlimited, he is having all opulences, it is actually very difficult to approach such a person. Like a president or prime minister, it is very difficult to approach a person. But the Supreme Lord is actually greatest of all persons. But he can be easily approached. But how can he be approached? The child says, although the Supreme Lord is unlimited, he is actually perceived in the repentant heart. So when a person is repentant for his past sinful activities, he can actually perceive the presence of the Supreme Lord, although one may be within the womb of the mother. That is why I remember many years back when Gaurang Prabhu was giving lectures in IIT in the Ajamil section, he was quoting one purport from the sixth canto in which Prabhupada says that it is the duty of a pure devotee to repent for his past sinful activities. Even a pure devotee has to, it is his duty to repent of his past sinful activities. Then what to speak of ordinary devotees? Then he should always remember his past conditionings and he should always repent for his activities. So then, interestingly, what is actually the conclusion of the child's prayer? So child offers a series of prayer, but what is the conclusion of the child's prayer? Child is praying that actually, I do not want to get out of the womb. Because in this condition, when I am suffering in this womb, actually I have come to understand my original constitutional position that you are the Supreme Lord, I am your eternal servitor. And if I go out of the womb, maybe I will become enamored by the influence of Maya. So better I want to remain in the womb of the mother. Because I will not forget my original constitutional position. So we can see, like many times when you read Prabhupada's books, sometimes we become bored because almost in every purport, Prabhupada repeats the same message, like Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the soul is eternally a part and parcel of the Lord, its constitutional position is to be servant of the Lord. But a child is saying that actually, because I have got this knowledge in this condition, I do not actually want to get out of the womb because I may forget this knowledge. So child is actually, he's saying that I do not even mind suffering in this condition, of in this womb, birth after birth, but better I remain in this condition. So such knowledge is very rare, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we are eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. So then somebody may ask the question, many people ask the question, that do all the children pray in the womb of the mother? In response to that, Jiva Goswami answers, he says that only those children or those souls who are fortunate, only those people actually pray in the womb of the mother. Although everyone goes through the suffering, only fortunate souls pray in the womb of the mother. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of people come to me. One of the person is person in distress. But then Krishna uses the word sukritina. That means those who have accumulated pious credits, spiritual pious credits. So although people go through suffering, unless a person has passed spiritual pious credits, one cannot actually take shelter of the Lord. So that is why it is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that when a person performs sadhana bhakti, how can a person achieve bhava bhakti? In order to achieve bhava bhakti, one should execute sadhana bhakti with a yearning to achieve to Lord's grace, not just mechanically. So when a person performs sadhana bhakti with a deep desire to achieve Lord's grace, then one can achieve actually bhava bhakti. In fact, one of the 64 processes of devotional service is dasyam, or servitorship. So there are two kinds of servitorship. The first kind is karmarpanam, second is kaikaryam. So karmarpanam means offering the fruits of one's activities to the Supreme Lord. So in karmarpanam there are two types. First is offering of one's prescribed activities, and the second is offering of the 9 processes of devotional service. So according to acharyas, actually karmarpanam is not considered to be a according to certain acharyas, karmarpanam is not considered to be the 64 item, because it is more in the sense of like one is performing devotional service as a matter of duty. Even the 9 process of devotional service, if you perform as a matter of duty, so that is actually considered to be karmarpanam. But the second kind of dasyam is kainkaryam. Kainkaryam means serving in the mood of a personal attendant of the Lord. So the difference between this karmarpanam and kainkaryam is not in the activity, but in the attitude of the performer. So when a person performs devotional service in the mood of a personal attendant, or in the mood of pleasing the Supreme Lord, so that is kainkaryam. So that is why one has to execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada termed the society as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One has to be conscious of the activities. So coming to that previous verse about how when a person performs, even once hears the holy name of the Lord, he becomes immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. One may wonder, how is it possible that if one once chants the holy name of the Lord, he becomes immediately qualified to Vedic sacrifices? Or if one immediately gets rid of all the sinful activities, how can it be possible? In fact, Prabhupada says in the purport, one should not be astonished of this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in order, people will think that actually it is actually not possible. So in order to eradicate the doubts of the people, Devahuti is speaking the next verse, in which she is saying that actually even if born in the family of dog eaters, such people are worshipable, because persons who chant the holy name of the Lord, they are already considered to have performed all the Vedic sacrifices, and they have already performed all the penances and all the duties perfectly. So in this way, we can see the power of devotional service. So in fact, Prabhupada says that one does not even chant with the, in order to chant the holy name, one does not even have to understand the whole process, like namely the offensive stage, the offenseless stage, etc. If one simply chants with the tip of the tongue, even one name of the Lord, one becomes immediately qualified. But then, The main key is one has to chant without committing offenses. In fact, why did actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name? The reason is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. Actually, the reason is not because Haridas Thakur was chanting 3 lakh names, not because he was sitting in a particular posture and chanting, not because he was so much absorbed, not because he was so attentive in chanting, but the reason is Lord Chaitanya Prabhu accepted Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name because he chanted without committing offenses. So that is the key to the chanting of the Holy Name. And especially, there are 10 offenses, but Prabhupada says that to chanting without offenses, in order to say in one particular sentence, chant, that means one has to chant only with the motivation to please the Supreme Lord. If one chants with this pure mentality of to chant only with the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord, then one becomes immediately purified, and not only that, he becomes qualified to preach the glories of the Holy Name to everyone. Although one may be born in a family of dog eaters. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one should simply chant the Holy Name and not commit offenses. And one of the main offenses is offenses to the Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas are so dear to the Supreme Lord. So if one offends the devotee, then actually it is a Lord becomes displeased. This aspect of how the devotees are dear to the Lord is explained in the third canto. In fact, when the four Kumaras tried to enter the spiritual world, so they were actually stopped by the gatekeepers. So when the gatekeepers stopped them, so the four Kumaras cursed the gatekeepers. So then the Supreme Lord Vishnu immediately comes to give darshan to the four Kumaras and to further stop the act of, he was fearing that maybe the four Kumaras will burn the Jaya and Vijay with their anger. So it is described, when the Supreme Lord appeared, the exquisite beauty of Narayan, being many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees, defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful woman in the material world and the spiritual world. That they describe the beauty of the Narayan is actually defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune as being the most beautiful woman. So Prabhupada says that actually in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan is actually more beautiful than the Lakshmiji. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is actually more beautiful than Lord Krishna. Why is it? Because in the Vaikuntha planets, the devotees want the Supreme Lord to be more beautiful than Lakshmiji. And in the spiritual, in the Goloka Vrindavan, the devotees want Srimati Radharani to be more beautiful than the Supreme Lord. And because Krishna's quality is Bhakta Vatsala, because he is so dear to the devotees, and he just acts whatever the devotees want. So in the Vaikuntha planets, he appears more beautiful than Lakshmiji, and then in the Goloka Vrindavan, he makes Srimati Radharani as more beautiful than himself. So this is, we can see this quality, that how the Lord is very dear to the devotees. And one has to be, the last point, I will just stop with this, that when we deal with the devotees, when a person may actually receive a mercy of one particular devotee, but that is not just sufficient, one has to be actually respectful to all the devotees. In the first canto, when Vidura comes to Hastinapur to deliver Dhritarashtra, so he actually preaches heavily to Dhritarashtra and then takes back Dhritarashtra. So by the mercy of Vidura, Dhritarashtra almost attained perfection. It is described that Dhritarashtra almost attained liberation. But then Prabhupada explains that although Dhritarashtra got the mercy of Vidura and he attained liberation, but Vidura was happy and distressed. Vidura was simultaneously happy and also in distress. Vidura was happy because at least Dhritarashtra was relieved from those material entanglement and he achieved liberation. But at the same time, Vidura was in distress because Vidura, he felt like that he could not make Dhritarashtra a pure devotee of the Lord. So why Vidura could not make Dhritarashtra a pure devotee of the Lord? Because Dhritarashtra was inimical towards the Pandavas. He committed offense to the Pandavas. So although a person may get a mercy of even a pure devotee of the Lord, but if he is inimical towards other devotees, still one cannot achieve the ultimate mercy of the Lord. One cannot go back to the spiritual world. So I will just stop here. So maybe any comments or corrections? Yes. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.